Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine and is produced by Mecco Radio.
I was, and still am, a very, very competitive individual, high standards, big goals, high achiever. I was confronted by my coach, who would often come up behind me and grab the back of my arm and say, "You've got some fat back there, Travis." He eventually sat me down and said, "You know, if you want to, you know, make it to the Olympics, if you want to be the best in the country, you're going to have to lose about, you know, 5 pounds.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by the incredible Kelly Travis. She's a mental health ninja. Everything she does is about prioritizing mental health and well-being. You'll notice that in our conversations. What I love about Kelly is that whenever she shares her journey, she incorporates these broken bulbs because she knows how valuable they've been in her growth. She's seriously awesome. But along her way, she was faced with an eating disorder. That's coming up after the break. Real quick before we get into today's show, I'd like to invite you to leave us a review and share this episode with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. We are really trying to push the show and get it out to as many listeners as possible to share the message of we all fail, we all make mistakes, and it's normal, and it's important to talk about it and learn from it. We want to see the show get to 10,000 downloads an episode before the end of the year. Let's see if we can do it. Thanks for your help. Enjoy the show. Kelly Travis, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Yeah, let's do it.
Fantastic. I like the enthusiasm because, you know, talking about these things isn't always the easiest. But let's get into you dropping out of college in your sophomore year. I mean, you left it all behind. What happened?
I did. And, you know, I'm currently writing my memoir and I'm like in the midst of this whole thing. And so it's right top of mind. So I was a collegiate athlete. I was in school on scholarship. I was a runner. So runners, especially female runners, our coaches tend to be very critical of weight. And it becomes a thing. I was, and still am, a very, very competitive individual, high standards, big goals, high achiever. I was confronted by my coach, who would often come up behind me and grab the back of my arm and say, "You've got some fat back there, Travis." He eventually sat me down and said, "You know, if you want to, you know, make it to the Olympics, if you want to be the best in the country, you're going to have to lose about, you know, 5 pounds. You know, I'm going to make a contract and you're going to do this and you're going to come back your sophomore year and, you know, things are going to be great." And I was a freshman in college, right? Very naive, just wanted to please. I wanted to be the best. And so I took that very seriously. And what ended up happening is I took it to the extreme, and an eating disorder is considered an addiction, and it just kept continuing to get worse, and I kept getting faster. So by the end of my first semester and our cross-country season, I had finished as an All-American, but I was incredibly unhealthy. I was very sick, and my parents had no idea any of this was going on. I went to school out of state. And they saw me at Nationals and confronted my coach. And they were like, "What the hell is going on?" And he was just like, "She just needs to eat a hamburger. She's fine." And what proceeded to happen after that was like any addiction, you become very secretive and manipulative. And you really do get this feeling of, it's like a euphoria from doing the thing that is very harmful to you, right? And which in my case was not eating. And I eventually had to drop out of school. I did not go back and continue, though I thought I could. I thought I was going to redshirt and take care of myself and I'd be fine, but it did not happen. So I dropped out, in your words, left it all behind because I was chasing a lot of goals. And I was lost. I lost my identity. I was eventually put into the psych ward for hospitalization because I just continued to get worse. And that's how they treat eating disorders. You're put on a psych ward when you're really bad. I spent you know, 6 to 8 months trying to get it together and recover, and eventually did, and did go back to school. Like, I dropped out, but I did return, but it looked a lot different, and I had to leave my collegiate athletic career behind.
Wow. I mean, first, what the heck was that coach thinking? Like, and then it obviously spiraled into this bigger issue for you. And so what did this experience teach you about mindset, and what things did you do to get past that and to move past that eating disorder?
That's a great question. And unfortunately, the way that it's typically addressed, or at that time, which was 20 years ago, was we just want to get you to the weight that we want to get you to. And, you know, we'll kind of touch on the mindset and what's going on in your head, right? And you have to get to a certain weight to even be able to do that work, because you don't think clearly when you are, you know, starved. So I went through the motions. I did do the work. I looked healthy, but it wasn't for about 10 years after that I fully, you know, came to the place where mentally, emotionally, I had done and recovered. And what that looked like was a lot of, you know, what we hear about now, a lot of reprogramming, you know, changing my thoughts, catching those negative critical thoughts, and changing my relationship with my body and food and my goals, like my perception of myself and what that looked like to chase a goal, and how I could take care of myself and still achieve those goals.
What would you suggest to maybe somebody else who's maybe in the position of a younger you and working through these things? What are some of the biggest recommendations you might give them for overcoming negative thoughts and eating disorders and everything else that comes along with it?
Yeah, great question. I do this work with all my clients because I think it's relevant in any, you know, whether it's, you know, challenges we have in our business or with our health or how we feel about our current state. And that is, we have to slow down long enough to actually notice what we're thinking, because we are on autopilot and we are conditioned to accept whatever thoughts we have, because they're the same thoughts we've been thinking for most of our life. And so we have to go through and do the work to pay attention to what we're thinking, catch those thoughts, and try to shift them in the moment. Because when we do that, we can actually change the trajectory of how we move forward, right? If we're thinking a negative thought and we catch that and ask ourselves, is this thought useful? Which is, I know, simple, but it works. And then we choose something more neutral, then it can get us to keep moving in a positive direction versus thinking that negative thought and then spiraling, right? Which is traditionally what we do.
Yeah, I like that, slowing down and taking a moment to acknowledge what's going on up here instead of just, oh, well, this is what I always do. Well, this is, you know, yeah. And to kind of take yourself off autopilot and take a moment to breathe through a thought.
Just to go a little bit further with that, the research shows that we typically have roughly between 40 and 60,000 thoughts a day as humans. 85% of them are negative. So there's nothing wrong with you if you have a negative thought. It's just our condition. We're conditioned to protect ourselves. That's how we do it. And so it's scary and it's uncomfortable to slow down. And I acknowledge that. But if you can tell yourself that it's okay and you can navigate that without putting too much pressure on yourself to make that next thought perfect, then it will be helpful, right? It's when we get into the weeds of, well, okay, this is negative. Oh my God, I got to think of this really positive thing. No, because the brain's not going to buy that either. So, you know, for all those who are perfectionists and want to do this right, it's okay if it's messy. Just try.
Of course, at the end of every episode, I like to give the guests the opportunity to brag a little bit, to talk about something that's working out for them now. So do you want to fill us in? What are you working on now and where can we go to follow you?
Yeah. You know, speaking of messy, that's kind of part of my messaging in my work, because you know, life is not perfect. And I believe that everybody grows through learning that. You can check out a lot of my work in that area on my website, kellytravis.net. I do a mastermind every 6 months with folks, and we dig into the mess and we accept the mess and still can work on growing. So that's a great area to find some things.
I love it. I'm going to have links to all of the work and everything that you do down in the show notes so that people can go and follow you and get involved. And with that, I just want to say thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks, Alex.
And thank you for listening. It's okay if it's messy. Just try. Slow down and let yourself think. And treat people with kindness. Lift them up. Lots of great lessons in here. Special thank you to Kelly Travis for joining me and being willing to talk about her broken bulbs. Be sure to check out her work, all of which can be found at kellytravis.net. And I highly recommend checking out her podcast, She Doesn't Settle, found wherever you get podcasts. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and share the show with a friend or family member who you think might get something out of it. It really does go a long way to helping the show grow and helping us get this message out there. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.